In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today's Mass is being offered in honor of St. Anthony, as well as for Father Eric Michael Anderson on his ordination day. Today we celebrate the feast of St. Anthony of Padua, and his story is that, as if you go to anywhere in Portugal, they will remind you that he is not Anthony of Padua, but Anthony of Lisbon. That's where he comes from. And they're very strong about that, and you can go visit the place in which he was born. He was first a young man who had high ideals and was gifted in learning. And so he entered into the canons regular of St. Augustine, following the rule of St. Augustine. And there, as a canon, he was inspired as a young canon by these mendicants, those who travel about the world without house or scrip or anything, solely for the gospel, in the order of this Francis, who was setting the world on fire at that time with his radical love of poverty and simplicity. Seeing these mendicants passing through the town, they perchance took some time to spend within the canonry of St. Augustine, who they were happy to receive these mendicants on the way. And so Anthony listened attentively at these ones who were excited to go out and to convert the Saracens, convert the Muslims, to turn them away from their demon religion in order to follow true religion. Listening to their words and how they were so set on fire by love of Christ and a desire for martyrdom, so too Anthony had a fire lit within his own soul. On the departure there, he wondered what would become of these men. And so his heart was always set upon them, and every time he would return to prayer, the Lord would recall to him these men as he would pray for them. It was not long afterwards that they did receive word of these men once again, that they had come back, as he saw their bodies being carried through the same town in which he was, for they had been martyrs. All the more was Saint Anthony fired with a love for these men, so much so that he wished to join them. He was given passage and leave from his superior, as he was not yet in holy orders, he was not yet a priest, and so he too set sail, seeking to join these men as Franciscans. And after obtaining leave to go and to do so, he set out upon a boat, which tossed and turned about by the waves of the Mediterranean Sea, which so easily can be tempestuous. He had a crash landing in Sicily and unable to travel further to the Saracens. Then, returning home back to Italy, it was there that he had perchance had the opportunity to meet St. Francis himself and be inspired by this seraphic father, seeing him in the flesh living out the life which he was now to call his own. St. Anthony soon was granted the grace of orders. Being ordained a priest, there he was able to confect the sacrament and to preach as well, but he always held within himself that gift of the word of God with him, being able to speak and to counsel others, but choosing to be a poor brother, really never enacted upon that until one day the Dominicans and the Franciscans were supposed to preach for a particular, I believe it was an ordination. Neither superior showed up, though. And so since neither of them had prepared a sermon for this auspicious occasion, the Dominicans and the Franciscans, each expecting the other to have prepared a sermon for the day, all of a sudden the task came to young Anthony. They said, "Well, at least let us let this young one preach, so when it goes badly, everybody understands why." It did not go badly. It was the most rousing sermon that anyone had ever heard in that place. And so after that, he was assigned as the fairest, the greatest preacher that the Franciscans had ever had among them, and the Dominicans agreed as well among them. And so he was given the task of preaching, the charge. Therefore, he was always to do so. He was known by two titles, this St. Anthony, as both the Hammer of Heresies and the Ark, was it the Ark of the Covenant or the Ark of the New Law? Something to that degree. You have to check me on that. Fabian doesn't know, apparently, so he's not going to correct me. It's one of those two. They called him the Hammer of Heresies because anyone who was a heretic who came within striking distance of him, not only were their thoughts confounded, he was able to point out where their errors were, but to do so with a softness, with a sweetness, so that not only did he not lose an argument, but he didn't lose a friend and found a convert in those with whom he spoke. Something which you and I should do if we're to be what the gospel calls us to be, the salt of the earth, having that saltiness, that ability to speak the truth, but also to do so in a convincing way. Our Lord says to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. That's the way the Christian life is to be led. St. Anthony did not do this for his own glory. He was called the Ark of the Covenant in this way, or rather the Ark of the New Law, or whatever it is that he was called. It's because so committed was he to the holy word of God that it was said that were all the copies of Scripture throughout all of Christendom, throughout the entirety of the world, to be lost, to be destroyed by violent heretics, by those who oppose the church, If the church but kept the treasure safe, which is Anthony, every word could have been written down just as it were within the book. He never had to have notes or anything because he himself was dripping with scripture. You and I should seek to be the same. We have the advantage of having books as laypersons. Well, you too should become dripping with the word of God. Let it be always rolling upon your tongue. If it's so, then you will have no need to give offense to anyone. For the words of the Lord are strike to the heart, but they also are sweet to the tongue, even if at times they are difficult to practice. Saint Anthony is indeed a great patron of many miracles, but somebody who you and I can follow with all of our deeds within our lives, because Saint Anthony didn't seek to do these good works, as the scripture says, for his own benefit, so that others might see how great he was, but rather he sought to hide. And so it is with you and I, not to seek to hide the good works which we're doing, but to make sure that any good work which we do gives reference not to ourselves, not to make our name greater, to make us seem like we're important, or to have the glory of having captured the attention of those who are around us in a great arousing story which we have to share, but so that each and every time we speak, reference is made to the Lord, and that he is the one who gets the glory. This is the life of the saints. And so we put upon the candlestick today, we do not hide Saint Anthony under a bushel basket, but we praise him and give him glory, for he, a son of Saint Francis, just as we are called to be sons and daughters of Saint Francis, whose faith has sanctified our country, this area, the Archdiocese of Santa Fe, New Mexico, for over 400 years. I ask that the Son of St. Francis speak loudly within us, that by that same faith, the only faith that saves, there's no faith outside of Jesus Christ that can bring salvation, so that being seasoned with that salt which St. Francis was, that the Lord had given, so too we may shine gloriously for another 400 years until the coming of the Lord again. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.